Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Enough with the silliness, please.
Oh.
Hey. He's, guess who's on the road?
Hey, hi. Hi, how are you?
Great. Good morning.
It is a
good afternoon.
Morning.
Good evening.
You're in North Carolina, and Mrs. O'Mara has slept in late, and I took the opportunity to get the old laptop out and communicate to you via Skype.
Can you tell us what city in Northern Carolina you are in?
Well, we took a slight diversion off the super slab in order to find a pet-friendly hotel at a good rate. So I've taken a side trip about 16 miles off the super slab to go to Fayetteville.
Where?
Fayetteville.
How's the pace of life in Fayetteville?
I really don't know, Rob. I've just been in the motel. We had dinner for my wife's birthday. We had a special dinner at a special restaurant last night.
What restaurant?
The Waffle House. Yeah. Nothing like that healthy lifestyle. I'm going to be going into the gym when I get back home, like for an intensive pre-live show workout with ellipticals and treadmills, because I have found that my health has slightly declined since I've been up in Northern Virginia in a fourth-bedroom apartment. Well, the only exercise I've gotten is climbing those stairs every day.
But that's good exercise. Stair climbing is almost perfect, right?
Yeah, we're on the road. We're on the road heading back. I got power 2 days ago. 2 days ago? Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday. Got power Saturday. And then they told me I have internet. I don't know. I'll find out. I got hotspots, and I know where they all are, so I'll be able to do it.
Did your camera work?
No, the camera doesn't work, and I've checked a couple of things, so I'm not really
dicey.
Sure.
We're doing.
Yeah, well, the whole thing's going to be dicey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this little, they had a little storm there a while back.
There was rain, a rain event, right?
A rain event.
I can't wait till Mike's in a McDonald's parking lot in the back of his SUV doing a show.
That's what it's going to be like. That's why we were talking today about this little Skype technology could be something special for a while. But I'm here to tell you, first thing, I wanted to get on the show and congratulate Ann Dowd.
Yay!
Supporting actress. She took home the Emmy. That was an exciting moment. I was very happy.
Oh, yeah.
And how thrilled was she? She was so excited.
That was one of the best speeches, if not the best speech of the night. She was so sincere.
That.
And I did a literal fist pump. I was so excited.
She mentioned TMOS.
Yeah, she talked all about Mike.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. That's all she wanted to talk
she
about.
She looked in the front row and she said, Mr. De Niro, if my mother and Mike's mother were cousins, what does that make us?
By the way, we're not like, we're second cousins.
Second cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's essentially, we're dead to her, right? Now that she's won the Emmy.
Yeah, well, she would have, she got nominated the week after we interviewed.
No, I'm with you, but like the idea that we would call, let's say, this week and to congratulate her, there's no way.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I planned on texting this afternoon. Just congratulations.
With the relative connection, you know. You know what? It's worth the shot, Rob.
Sure.
Find out if she, you know, we told her.
Yeah.
I basically came out and I jinxed her because I told her she was going to win, but it didn't jinx, you know?
I told Carrie when she was taking the stage, I said, you know, I could text her right now.
I'm very superstitious, to be honest with you, and that's why you won't hear this word come out of my mouth. Maria.
Oh, the Virgin.
Oh, God.
Or is that Mary?
Mary.
I'm an idiot.
You know, I can't watch Tropical Updates anymore without, you know, a feeling of like...
Wasn't that a Robert Downey movie? Tropical Updates?
Carla, I told Carla when you made your viola violin joke.
That was pretty good. Come on.
Would you like to share it with the class?
Because yeah.
I told Carla I didn't want her to write dork. She was going to write dork on your timeline.
Okay, it was when Viola Davis came out on the Emmys last night. Yes. I said, Viola Davis has a sister that is slightly smaller named Violin Davis.
Oh, that was an instrument joke.
Yeah, sure, stringed instruments.
That's really dorky.
Orchestral.
Yeah.
Maneuvers.
That's just dorky, and that is so, how do you describe that? That is so painfully unfunny.
Yeah.
Really?
It's really hack.
No, it's not hack.
The Latin club joke was so much better.
Self-satisfied smile when you post something like that online.
The reason I posted it is very clear, is that I said it and Carrie did not laugh, and it pissed me off. So I had to get it out to someone. I knew someone would appreciate it. I know, obviously, not anyone in this room now.
No, because you don't even play an instrument.
It strangely makes me angry.
Well, no, everything makes you angry, Mike.
That is true.
Could be right.
So, wait, did you fist pump? Did you, I mean,
that's what I did.
Like, what happened? I was excited. And Shannon's like, what's the big deal? I was like, that's Mike's cousin, kind of.
I'll put you into the little process when the Red Sox, like, win a big game.
Yeah.
When I know, when I want to be first, I will write my little post on Facebook prior to the event happening.
Oh, jinx machine.
I wrote Anzao Zhang, so proud of my cousin, and I had it ready to go. And I said, I don't do this because I think I'm going to jinx her. I do this because it's actually the power of the positive thinking.
Okay, Oprah.
Yeah, you know, like, that's the equivalent of a prize pig.
You win a car.
That's the equivalent of a prize pig dialing 432 WAV and then waiting for the touchdowns.
Well, that's what I did. So I did that. And then I sat under the end of the bed, the little guy and mama, I think he may have already been asleep at that point, and Carla was doing what she does, like 24/7.
People should know that you're using your phone.
Yeah, texting
Dirk.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I know I should paint the picture. And then she won, and I posted, and I was very, very excited. And then, I wound down because I had a lot of caffeine during the day during our little drive. We were very happy with the progress we made, and now it's off on another road adventure. No plans, really. I'm going to be going through Savannah, so we won't be burdening Katie, who's dealing with her own crap tonight. But that would be a 4-hour drive. We're not going to go that short a distance. So
what about the was the TV great in your hotel room?
The whole this little place. I'll give him a plug.
Thank you. Country Inn and Suites.
I've never heard it. Who's Carlson?
I don't know.
He's the general manager at WKRP.
He's doing things right.
Yeah, getting it done.
The TV's pretty good. You know, I got it on right there. See that?
Oh, that's not bad. That's a newer LED TV.
Flat screen, yeah.
Yeah.
But I left yesterday. Over the weekend, I gave my wife and her mother for Carla's birthday. By the way, nice birthday for Carla in Fayetteville in a motel eating at the Waffle
House. Mike, it's been the week of Carla. Get over it, please.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
But didn't you let her order anything she wanted at the restaurant?
They gave her a piece of pie.
That's nice. Huge. Even the Waffle House knows how to celebrate.
The two kids in the Waffle House sang happy birthday to her. These two young kids in Fayetteville, nobody in the Waffle House on a Sunday at like 6 o'clock.
Really?
Nobody there. And they sang happy birthday to her. I gave them a huge tip.
That's sweet.
Cool. The level of sweetness was off the charts. But here's the deal. Saturday night was her real birthday night out with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank Hari, our listener, who provided the hotel room for them. And then I popped for their dinner and sent them out to the night out.
Do you want to mention the place? Because, I mean, a lot of people go there from here.
Gaylord National Resort.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very fancy. Gaylord.
And my job was, you know, to send them away. And then I was the daddy day all day and took the little guy out. We went to the Air and Space Museum, which...
Now, the Dulles one or the one downtown?
Udvar Hazy.
I went to the Dulles one because I had the air show on the brain. But you know what the air show is. The air show is D.C.
Yes.
It's a D.C. event. And for the people that were in 3.5 hours of traffic to get to the FedEx Field to take a shuttle bus to Andrews Air Force Base that stopped running at 1 o'clock, I'd just like to say, guys, I could have told you. Thank you very much. It's a very problematic event to go to. But I said, you know, it's not. Is 10 minutes down the road to actually go to
see the space shuttle.
Yeah,
the space shuttle, and we went and saw the little IMAX movie. And Michael, come here for a minute.
Oh, that's here, so buddy. Sweet.
Did you like the air? Nice and loud. Did you like the Air and Space Museum?
Uh huh.
Can you tell the boys what you told me after you came out of the movie? What do you want to be?
Astronaut.
Oh, that's sweet.
There he goes. And we had a fantastic time. Watch out for the corn. Yeah.
When Robert was that age, he said he wanted to be a soda taster.
Elizabeth said she wanted to be a dolphin rider.
That's also good.
Yeah, I want to be a fry guy.
Let's so. Remember that.
The worst. That goals.
The great part of the day was that, and he went. He was engaged for the entire afternoon. He and we saw the movie, and then we went to all the planes. That we saw the little movie. Then we went over to the space side. It's an amazing museum. It's the what?
Udvar Hazy.
Ingvar Skosbo. You know, whatever.
Von Herman.
Mike, if you pay for it, you can name it.
It's Ingvar Hazy.
I had to figure out who the hell that guy was, and I was like, oh, that's a lot of hundreds of millions.
Yeah. You know? Basically paid for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that was the great part of the day, and then it was off to get Carla a cake for when she came back home on Sunday.
Mm.
And
did I select you Costco?
No, I went to Rob's hated location.
Oh, how are you feeling today? A lot of times their food is poisonous.
I'm here to say this. This is really, really important. Oh, Rob. Wow.
Yes.
You've never been more right on anything in your life. It is.
Thank you. Thank you. Horrible. Thank you.
Hooray! Horrible.
The Wegmans?
Yep.
You could have someone pass away. In that crap hole, and the house frows would step over the corpse to get to their.
Also, the corpse would stay there for 2 weeks because the hearse couldn't figure out the parking lot.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. A horrible place.
But as far as a birthday cake, it was a win. I mean, a beautiful birthday cake that I got it decorated, picked up a couple of bottles of wine. And picked up a little pizza pie for me and the guy.
Do you feel that you were overpriced at Smegman's?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but because I had the one-stop shop with all the birthday stuff, I was okay with it. And you know what? Giant, I will tell you something. You know, how do you compete when you want to, like, plan something special? You can't compete with it. It was
right.
Perfect. No. And because I got my wine, I got the birthday balloon, I got the pizza for the little guy.
One balloon?
One happy birthday balloon.
Okay, not a dozen balloons.
No, I got the happy birthday, you know, shiny balloon thing. What the hell do you want me to get?
Mylar.
Mylar balloon.
You went for a Mylar balloon.
You know, I got to get in the car in about 5 minutes. Will you back off, please?
Do you still have the balloon?
We have a show to do, for God's sakes. Mylar.
So, do we have
are they shiny?
Do you have a crash sound effect? Do you have any kind of glass breaking sound effect?
I can have one. Yes, give me a sec.
He's got Mylar.
I got my Mylar sound effect.
Maybe a glass breaking a sound effect.
Because my mother-in-law has never lived on anything but the top floor where there aren't elevators. I get to climb to the fourth floor every time I'm there. When I've got the little guy and groceries.
Right.
And I'm bringing up all the stuff. I did the lazy man's load. I was still going to have to go down and do two trips, but I didn't want to do, for God's sakes, didn't want the heart to explode with three trips.
Right.
So I took the little guy upstairs, and I'm readjusting my load of the balloon, the birthday cake, and the two bottles of wine that I have in the bag, and I switch, and a card, and I switched hands with the card, and when I switched hands, the wine, the two bottles of wine came out of my grasp.
Oh.
Oh, no. And I look down, and are you familiar with a little film about the mafia called Goodfellas?
Sure.
Yes.
You know when Tommy gets it in the face when he thinks he's going to be a made man?
Yeah.
And Tommy, and they show the long shot of Tommy, and you've got the blood going away from Tommy's head.
Mm-hmm.
That was the wine on the third landing. And I realized I got nothing to clean it up with. I have to run up to the fourth floor. Get the little guy put inside the apartment, come back out, and I grabbed a good towel.
Oh. So this was red wine.
This is red wine on the third floor landing that is spreading. Both bottles are gone. Both bottles of wine are gone. It's spreading, and then I know it's going over the lip of the landing.
Oh, no.
Stairwell, and it's beginning to drip, not down one floor, down two floors.
Yeah.
It looks like a scene seriously out of It.
The little Kintner boy is up there.
It was terrible. The little Kintner boy is bleeding all over the landing. And I destroyed Linda's apartment on my way out.
Well, that's always nice to leave it. You know what they say? Leave only footprints, take only memories.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And as Rocco said to the lady from the Catholic Church across the street, prayers, not grocery lists.
Mike, overall, though, solid weekend for you and the fam, if you think about it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, good news, because I wanted to, you guys saw me packing up all my stuff on Friday's show in D.C., because you know I was wishfully thinking.
Power of positive thinking again.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we were even going to be borderline that we may start the journey even without power, but I was really relieved to get power and now to be on the road. But
allegedly, you have power.
I'm ready. I allegedly don't.
Can you imagine he gets there? It's just dark.
Yeah. Candles.
No internet.
A lot of candles.
And the McDonald's is closed.
The fries are cold.
I mean, a McDonald's, so I can't have my regular evening meal that I eat every night?
No. Whoa. No, I'm just talking about the Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Do you think that's where I'm going to have to go to do the...
McDonald's notoriously has the best Wi-Fi. They have great public Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm.
So you mean there's a chance that Wednesday morning I will be doing a show from McDonald's?
Mike, I have heard no less than three different podcasters, not because of disaster, but sheer just cheapness, go do their podcast out of the parking lot of McDonald's.
I'm excited about that. The prospect of that is intriguing.
Yeah.
I know where all the hot spots are.
Hey, does Culver's have internet?
I get it. You just made a fat joke.
No, sure. It's a place we all like.
What? Come here. What?
You do know where all the hot spots are.
Oh. Oh. There's proof.
He does know where all the hot spots are.
We heard it
for a second.
Yeah. Look at this. She looks great.
Oh, man.
On the road. You know, like
I know.
Hotel.
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah. I am so lucky. Meanwhile, I'm like, this is what I want to look like.
Yeah, you want to look like the business casual guy that gets to your hotel room and loosens your tie before you read the paper. You going to take your tie off before you read the paper? No, I'm just going to loosen it because I'm a douche.
What do we have here? Hey, we have Rainforest Coffee.
Ooh.
Otherwise known as Taster's Choice.
I don't know what else is around here. I can't mess with it.
Hey, steal the shampoo.
There's nothing funny in a motel room.
I come home with three extra shower caps.
I'm sweet and I'm low. I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, so anyway, it was a good weekend, except I did destroy that. And then the little guy wanted to eat lunch at the airport. And so I
at the Air and Space Museum, they should call it launch.
It was a whim, and I was like doing anything he wanted. I felt like spoiling him, you know, and I said, all right, we'll go. And I figured they'd have like a snack bar. Do you realize if you go to the outer area of Dulles Airport, like the part where the terminal takes you to the shuttles and things like that, you have to go through security to get any place to like eat except for one place.
They have one little restaurant. I've been to it with my father many times.
One horrible,
really bad.
Horrible.
What is it?
It's called the Chop House, but it's nothing like a Chop House.
No,
okay?
It's what you know what it is? It's a bad Fridays. A really bad Fridays. No.
And insecure.
And yes. I got a salad, a steak salad, and I bit my tongue. Now when I bit my tongue, I thought I'd be all right, right?
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. Right, right, right.
I thought I'd be okay. I go to the car and all of a sudden I'm tasting blood.
Oh, copper.
And I look at my mouth, and I guess I just dug into it.
Oh!
Jeez.
What happened? Oh, no.
I have no idea whether it's the blood thinner or whether I thought my tongue was actually steak.
You know, Maddie is in studio, and she just made a face I've never seen her make in the whole year of her internship. It was
pretty
sympathy
gross,
and
it,
fear.
You should have seen it the other night. The other night. So I come back after.
Don't kiss me, Carla.
After the red wine incident, I'm going back up and down the stairs, and the heart's pounding a little bit. And I'm sitting there with the Xarelto, the blood thinner. I'm a hot mess. Saturday night was horrible.
Yeah.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a lesson this is one thing you can take away from the Mike O'Mara show, okay?
Okay.
This is why it was horrible. Because all I did was give and give and give, okay? When you really give to others, you get in trouble. You know what? Should have let my mother-in-law stay back with the kid. I should have taken my wife to the hotel. I could have probably spun a couple of slots, had a couple of whiskeys, and had a good time.
And find those hot spots.
Find those hot spots. Now I'm sitting here in the Carlton Manor, whatever the...
Spitting blood.
With a couple of dogs.
Mike.
Hey, could you get him to bark?
Hey, come here, Frankie, come here. Come here.
It's cool. It's a 10 o'clock checkout.
They're going to disappoint.
Yeah.
Now he ran away from me. F you.
Yeah. F see, you. This is what happens.
You know what?
Well worth it, though. Mike, on the weekend wasn't all about giving. We took as well as we had a great guest.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Oscar.
Nice segue. Thank you. And my joke was hacked.
I'm monitoring you like without hearing me, and so my brain's a little squirrely. We have to figure this out technically. We'll get it right. Like today, we'll figure it out. You guys text me, let me know what I got. My next stop, I'll do this tomorrow, hopefully, and you know, we're going to do it that way. But hey, listen, Friday, we had a wonderful taped interview after we were all done doing our work. We interviewed the lovely Katie Tour, and told you that we were going to have her on the show, and we hope you like that. And on the show today, although I'm not with the boys, I was with them on Friday, and we're going to have a lovely interview with the author of the book, Unbelievable, my front row seat for the greatest, most unusual. I don't have the book in front of me.
It's the 2016 election.
It was an amazing interview, and we found out that her grandfather was Larry Fine.
If I was there, I would come across the table at you. I would actually.
It was just a joke.
Curly, who's Curly was on the show when? Last week.
No, that was also on Friday when we had Curly Howard's grandson, Brad Server.
Yeah, well, we taped the Katie Tour interview after we got taping. We do taped interviews. People do it.
Well, no, the point is this. Is as far as interviews go, you are going to enjoy this. And by you, I mean the listener, our listening audience. Because you don't have to be into politics or care anything about politics to understand what it takes to be on the front row of history.
Amen. And you know what? I will tell you that it was, you know, she was really the face of the media when we had that that whole situation begin between Trump and the media. And I thought she was very, very interesting. And she, you know, she's a great interview. She likes talking about what happened. And I think you'll enjoy that. So that's on today's show. And I leave you with this. Last night when I checked in, when you have dogs, it's expensive to stop in these motels. Some of them are pet friendly. Some of them aren't.
Right.
I, you know, you guys know me. You've been on the road with me. You know that sometimes I spend frivolously. I don't think about it. I don't really care about it. Then there are other times, and this is the interesting cocktail that is me. I will obsess over an overcharge, what I feel is an overcharge, and I'll try to get around with it, get around it. So the fee for this particular motel is $25 a dog. And to me, when you're paying, you know, when you're paying under $100 for a motel room, and yeah, that's right, I'm living the dream. When you're on the road, your incredible deal for your motel, it goes out the window.
It's not a deal anymore,
right?
You got a $50 surcharge for doggies, right?
Yeah,
I'm very, very frustrated with this. So I always try to work around it. Now, last night I knew we're going to walk in the main lobby with the dogs, and I was going to try to play the refugee card. You know, from Florida and do that. So I walk in and
a week later,
Kathy Bates behind the counter. I know I'm not going to get help.
Right.
Unless I get extremely lucky. And I know if she gets a look at my wife, I'm double screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. She'll charge you just because she's mad at you.
The $25 honey fee.
Yeah.
So
the hot spot.
And I'm like, and she said, so my first thing is I play dumb. And I let them check me in. The second thing is they mentioned the dogs. Did you have dogs? I said, yeah, we have a dog. And then I pretend because I'm trying to get just the 25. Like, oh, I
you cut them in half.
I said, technically, and I look at her. This is my spiel. Sometimes it's work. Technically, we have a dog and a half. You know, we're going back to our hurricane ravaged home in Florida, and we've got to, you know. $25. Oh, God, you have to charge me for both dogs. And sometimes it'll be like, no, we don't have to get it. And this is exactly what she does. I swear to God. She's standing there typing over her computer, all right? And she's about three bills.
Okay.
And she's as close as I am to this screen, and this is what she does.
Oh,
She mouth burps, blows it out, and looks at me and goes, it's $25 a dog. And I'm like, not only do I appreciate you not giving me the slightest courtesy or a little something, even though I'm overpaying for this crap hole that I'm going to stay in, but the fact is I really appreciate you blowing your digested right in my mug as you're telling me that that I'm not going to be able to get the benefit.
Truly, anyway, that was an American Horror Story. Yeah.
You know what I call that?
What?
I call that North Carolina Strong.
<That's great. laughs>
here.
Have a safe trip to Alan.
Yeah, we'll
Mike.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Show the boys what you showed me. Show the boys the face that I got.
Oh, what?
When you just looked at me now, show them what I just looked at him. Okay.
Time to go,
hey,
funny man.
It's like traveling with Buzz again.
Oh, Buzz.
How nice for you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's start the show. Have a safe trip, Mike.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
We love you. Bye.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Now, yes, as I was saying,
You were saying you supposed we were all wondering why you called us.
Look, there is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question. What is your name?
I'm Shawk, the gardener.
And what is it you do?
I'm the gardener.
And why didn't you say that to me in the first place?
I did.
Look, don't try to be funny with me, monsieur. This is a very serious matter. And everyone in this room is under the suspicions.
Room?
What? What was that?
You said room.
Yes, I know that. And there is a very good chance that someone in this room knows more about the murder than he is telling.
Murder?
What was that you said?
I said murder.
What murder?
Well, I don't know. You said murder.
I said murder?
You said there was someone in this room who knew more about the murder than he's telling.
What was your name?
Shawk.
The cook.
Gardener.
Ah, now we are getting somewhere. You.
Oh, dear. Are you all right, Mr. Stutterstut?
Who is this man?
He's Mr. Stutterstut.
I see. And what is your job, Mr. Stuckerstuff?
He's the beekeeper.
I'm not asking you, I'm asking Mr. Stuffsucker.
He says he's got a bit of a cold and he's lost his voice.
A beekeeper who has lost his voice, a cook who thinks he's a gardener, and a witness to a murder. Oh, yes, it is obvious to my trained eye that there is much more going on here than meets the ear. Before you are dismissed, Mr. Stiffsticker, I suggest you count your bees. You may find that one of them is missing.
You ruined that piano.
What is the price of one piano compared to the terrible crime that has been committed here?
But that's a priceless Steinway.
Not anymore.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now here's Rob.
For those of you who would like a peek behind the curtain, when I play It Takes Two, Oscar instantly dances.
Yes.
It always happens that way.
I love it. Why not?
Live.
Sit here like a stone statue?
No. You got to get it done. You got to find the hot
dance.
Find the hot spots.
Yeah.
Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show is a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the fantastic TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us anytime. 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Draft.
Draft!
I won some money this
week. You did?
I did, yes!
Oh, congratulations.
When you only play a dollar, you don't win, but it gives you a reason to root.
Hey, when you win, you win.
You win. It's a big win. Fantasy football fans, you have got to try this app. It's my new favorite. It's called Draft. Draft is weekly fantasy football, but it ain't like the other guys. Because with Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in a season-long league. And here's how it works. The draft lasts for 1 week. No management, no salary caps. Just set it and forget it. And once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of it if there's a last-minute injury. You don't get screwed that
way. Super easy. This is perfect for those of you that just want to get into the action and not deal with all the minutiae.
It is so great because it really holds your hand and takes you through it. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you could join one right now. And the best part? Cold, hard cash. I said it before. Drafts start from just $1, so there is a draft
for
everyone. So come join us on Draft today. Download the app at any time. Just come search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or do what I do. Play from your computer at playdraft.com. The choice is yours. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you got to use the promo code TMOS. That's right. Play a real money game for free just using the promo code TMOS with your first deposit on Draft. Search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and play free with promo code TMOSDRAFT. Do it.
Perfect.
Mike teased it. Let's not make you wait for it. Fantastic interview with a lovely and amazing reporter, Katie Turr.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This is very, very exciting for me. I am so, so delighted to talk to this lady because she was on the front lines when you consider the crazy ride that was campaign 2016. And that's what the book is about. It's Katie Turr, Unbelievable. My front row seat to the craziest campaign in American history. Katie, thanks so much for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
If I digested literature and read with the speed at American University when I was a junior there, the way I read this book, I would probably have a better GPA when I graduated. I devoured your book. It was just incredible. I'm not sure I could have read that book right after the election, like a lot of people, but because so many of us took some time to get past it. How long did it take you to return to your version of normal after the campaign was all said and done?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I still haven't quite returned to it. But I, after the election, I think everybody needed a bit of a break. So, I mean, I took a break. I went on a two-week Asian adventure, and I put down my phone. I didn't read a single headline. I detached myself from politics, and then I started writing in January. I'm hoping that right after this book tour, my life can go back to normal.
Yeah, because I mean, when you talk about the schedule of being a reporter on a campaign, book tours are right up there with that grind. You were the face of the evil media in the world of Trump. How frightening was it to be singled out to the point of having the Secret Service escort you to your car, having at one point in the book, there's a man that confronts you, spits in your face. It was pretty scary, I would imagine.
There were moments. I mean, and you don't really think about it a lot while you're on the campaign because you won't be able to do your job. You won't just be able to get up out of bed and function if you are constantly scared. But I mean, I was tense, definitely, for the majority of it. We had armed security. After that rally that you just mentioned where Secret Service walked me out, NBC hired security for me and the other reporters who were following Trump. So if we were standing outside of Trump Tower, there would be a security guard. If we were standing, outside of a rally in Des Moines, Iowa, same thing. They'd come into the venues with us, so there was definitely that layer which helped us put our minds at ease. But specifically, the night of the Muslim ban, it was frightening. You know, you try not to think about it in the moment. I smiled and I waved at the booing crowds because, you know, what else are you going to do?
That was a strategy for you, right? That was you said that was a strategy because you didn't want to. The book is so honest, and you talk about you're doing that because you're diffusing the furor by smiling and I guess in a way creating the sense of playing along, correct?
Exactly. Because if I he had called me out so many times before this, and people had been screaming at me so many times before this, that I found that if I smiled and I waved, they had a tendency to think that it was just part of the show, and I wasn't intimidated by it, so they couldn't intimidate me too. So that was my strategy with that, and it helped. You know, it definitely helped. There were people that lingered around the live shot. There was a Trump staffer who shooed them all off and then pointed at the two Secret Service agents and said, "These guys are going to walk you to your car," which I was thankful for because, I mean, this was that you have to remember the moment of this rally. San Bernardino, the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, it happened shortly before this. President Obama had just given a speech about terrorism. And Donald Trump was saying that this country wasn't vetting people properly, that they were allowing terrorists in, that your Muslim neighbors were hiding terrorists, and that you were threatened, and this administration is not protecting you. And who is protecting the administration? Who's not protecting you? The media.
It's fresh. It's still fresh to me. And to read this book, it was just because you were so often the face of this attitude towards the media. One of the things I truly love about this book is when you dive into the daily grind of what it is to cover a campaign, and you talk, you know, being TV ready in some cases, 6 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night, multiple years on the road, you know, not just 1 year going into the other one, but it's also
510 days,
510 wow. days, you know, wow. not being in your own home, but I also get through the book that it's kind of a rush. You give up your life almost totally. Are you able to, you know, it's the same question that I asked you at the beginning. Are you able to get it back? It's hard. You give up a tremendous amount when you're out on the road covering this day in, day out.
It's like you suspend your life. You just suspend reality. You put pause. You hit pause on the VCR of your life. And then you just live in the moment. You live day to day. You live hour to hour. There was a point, you know, I was a London correspondent, foreign correspondent, so I had a flat that was just empty for a year. I just basically gave it to people. Oh, go, here are my keys. Have fun. which was nice for, I think, my friend.
Sure.
But I had my personal cell phone. I turned it off in the winter of 2015 because I couldn't answer the text messages from my friend. I couldn't hold the conversations because I just didn't have time. I literally did not have time to have conversations with people because there were so many headlines that Trump was making, and we were traveling so much. There was so much work to do that I couldn't feel guilty about it any longer. And I haven't turned it on yet.
You do. There's one moment in the book. There's a moment in the book. And by the way, this is the book is unbelievable. Katie Tour talking about the craziest campaign in American history. I loved so much about this book. I love when you talk about your mom and dad. I love the fact that you did put the phone on silent or put it down for one moment where I think you go into exercise. And I'm just trying to regurgitate some of it. Was that the moment that Hillary collapsed with the 9/11 memorial and you
September
missed
11th.
It.
Yeah, it's September 11th.
She misses it.
Oh, no. I think to myself, okay, I can put my phone down for an hour. There's a memorial service going on. Right. I think I'm safe to go to a yoga class.
Wrong.
And I'm totally wrong. I come out to it and my phone, I've missed 10 calls. I have dozens of text messages, all something around the lines of, where the F are you?
and you never turned it off after that.
Off.
You know, I got to talk about the moment because this is a, you know, in typical media fashion, this is the moment you're hearing about on all the shows. And of course, it's the moment when old Orange Hair planted one on you, Katie. He kissed you, I guess, before an appearance on Morning Joe. And obviously, there's the creep factor there with the 70-year-old man. But from the book, I got it that your thoughts were more on your credibility as a journalist, right?
You get kissed on the cheek by all sorts of people in your life, colleagues, friends, families, people that you meet in social settings. I mean, that's not unusual. Politicians kiss each other on the cheek all the time.
Right.
What is unusual is a person who is running for president kissing the person who is covering his run. That is trying to sway their coverage.
And that's how you processed it, right? That's how you thought about it.
That and not only that, I was worried that if my bosses saw him kissing me on the cheek, that they would think that I couldn't cover him fairly or appropriately or if need be, critically. They would look like I was too friendly with them. And it freaked me out. I keep saying freaked out. It freaked me out.
It would freak me out.
In LA. Yeah.
And I mean, he's bigger, you know, at this point, he's, you know, the man is becoming the legend. The man is actually becoming bigger than life. And you kind of thought he might have been, he's also playing that up. He's playing you a little bit, right? By doing that, don't you think?
Of course. It was am I going to lose my credibility? And around this time, Lara Spencer of GMA had just been eviscerated for appearing to stand too closely to him, potentially sit on his lap, even though she wasn't, on GMA. People thought that she was way too cozy with this presidential candidate. He's not a reality show host. He's not an actor. He's not a celebrity. He's not a real estate magnate. He is a presidential candidate,
right?
And that is inappropriate. And I was worried that I was going to get taken off the beat or diminished.
Oh, God, I could talk to you for 6 hours, and I know I'm limited on time here, but we're talking to Katie Tour. The book is unbelievable. I love the camaraderie of the press corps that you talk about in the book, where you're all these reporters from CNN, from MSNBC, from NBC. You're all out there covering this beat. You want to beat each other's brains out. You want to scoop each other. But there's tremendous camaraderie, and there's a wonderful moment where you're all dining together down in Tampa at a steakhouse, and you know it's just you reflect a little bit. You take a pause to realize just what an insane ride this whole thing is. There is tremendous camaraderie, even though there's tremendous competition within that press corps. Am I right?
There is, of course. In any business, you're going to have competition, but it's exacerbated when you're in the news business, because we all, I mean, journalism is competitive. Journalism, you want to scoop everybody else. But it's this, you know, it's this high-pressure environment that can create diamonds of friendships. And that Burns Steakhouse night is one of my favorite memories.
It's great.
It's a bunch of correspondents and producers, and we are just opening bottle after bottle after bottle of wine. They have the largest wine cellar in all of, I think, the entire world.
It's a good joint.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. That's funny. Not after you, left.
Yeah, exactly. It was not the largest after we left. And we were telling our war stories from the road, stuff that we hadn't told each other and that we knew nobody would believe after this was all over. And one of them was, we had a really nice producer, really, really friendly, kind, warm-hearted producer for one of the other correspondents. And he was standing outside of a Trump rally, and this woman comes up to him, this like nice older lady, very polite, and she smiles at him, and she says, "Are you part of the media?" And he says, "Yes." "What's your name?" Let's call him Kenneth. He says, "I'm Kenneth." And she says, "You, Kenneth." I hope I'm allowed to swear on your show. I just realized.
We can edit it. We're doing it in post. We can edit it. Katie, I know we've only got you for a few seconds. I just got to get these in here because I would be. I love the book so much. Oh God, I'll skip right to the last question. This is the biggie. No, I have to ask you about this first. I'm sorry. You had a feeling Trump was going to win it. You said that. You articulated it. It was in your gut. You qualified it a little bit in the book, but you did say that, and you had a feeling this was going to happen. My question for you, what is your gut telling you now? What do you think? Where is the future? What does it hold? What's going to be the future of this presidency? What is your gut telling you?
I wrote a New York Times article about this over the weekend. I think that you can't discount him. You can't discount the devotion, the political loyalty that he has from his voters. His voters knew that he was flawed. They knew he was not a perfect candidate. They knew that he didn't know a lot about policy. They just really, really desperately hate Washington and want to see something get done. So if he gets stonewalled by Congress, they are going to blame Congress, not the president. So don't discount him for 2020.
Well, and the last question I have for you, this is the biggie in this
Russia
book.
Notwithstanding, I should say.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know what the special prosecutor is going to find. The biggie question, I got a sense of historical awareness in your book. You kept a good record, lots of help from others, but you kept a lot of notes, on and off camera moments. You seemed to know something big was happening. If you were teaching a history class in the year 2076, what would you tell your students about the 2016 presidential election?
It did really happen. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes.
For God, oh, that's great. Katie, what a pleasure. The book's getting great reviews. Enjoy the rest of your tour and keep doing what you're doing. It was a delight to have you on the show.
Mike, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And Oscar, thank you too.
Thank you.
I dominated Rob and Oscar. I'm sorry.
No, she's great. She killed. She actually killed. Thank you. Take care.
That's awesome. The book is Katie Tour, Unbelievable, My Front Row Seat to the Craziest Campaign in American History. And that's a great answer. I was there.
It really happened.
It's not. Oh, and the other thing I didn't get a chance to tell her, but I think really when you talk about, was that Game Change with Sarah Palin?
Yes.
This could be
an HBO movie.
Oh, easily. Yeah. With so much stuff
Feature film.
There.
Feature
Read
film.
This book. I loved it. You will love it. And thanks to Katie Tour.
So, I was connecting with they're common friends. The friends with all, it's wild how we have this world of connection, right?
Yes,
especially
exactly.
In the DC area.
So Sarah Murray, who's now the one of the White House correspondents for CNN, she was on the campaign with Katie.
Right.
Oh, cool. And they're great friends.
Yeah, there's a lot of camaraderie.
And
there.
I was roommates with Sarah in Arizona when she was working at the Arizona Republic.
That's right, Sarah Murray. You mentioned that before.
It's a small world, right?
Oh, wow. My God.
And it's because I reached out. I said, you know, we're having your girl Katie on tomorrow. And she's like, and then I guess they corresponded. But it really is in this world of social media, the odds that my roommate in Arizona when I was on KZON
right.
is now one of the CNN White House correspondents, and Katie has written this book, and in the camaraderie between especially the correspondents that were covering Trump.
Yeah.
Because at CNN, they were assigned
right.
before everybody broke
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
and right?
in Katie's case, she was a neophyte.
Yeah.
She was not a political person, and she kind of learned on the fly,
yeah.
much like the candidate.
Yeah.
You know, you've got her out there covering this, and the insights into the campaign trail. There's one thing where a guy, I guess right towards the end of the campaign, they're on the press plane, and he decides to sit on a couple of those serving trays they have when the plane's taking off to see if he can slide down the length of the airplane. There's great goofy stuff that's in there, but she's very, very open about the drudgery of the moment
so
with
candid.
Television
yeah.
and you know, getting camera ready, and when you know you get a call and you got to be ready. She said she mastered the ability to be camera ready as a woman, and there's a different standard, as we all know, within less than 30 minutes to go from dead sleep to being on a camera.
I saw in the press release that during the campaign, she did over 3,500 live shots.
Right.
3,500 live shots.
And by the way, when you get these, I came in under 15 minutes with that interview because they gave us 15 minutes. And when you are doing these tours,
yeah.
I know from plenty of experience that if you babble on into that 20-minute mark, it's killing them. They've got a shopping list
and
of these things
the
that
way,
they're doing.
And by the way, you read the book. You're prepared. You're professional. I'm sure she appreciated that.
Katie Turr, I read your book!
Look, there are two ways you do this, okay? You get a book from somebody that's doing a book tour. You glance at it, and sometimes after you glance at it, you go right for the crib notes. Then there are other moments, like I have with this one, where I picked this up the other night, and I didn't put it down until last night because it was that good. It is so insightful. What she's dealing with that. Now it jumps around a lot. It's sometimes there are moments that may be a little hard to follow, but
like the campaign itself.
But overall, when you get this and she's right there. They had no choice. Mm. They are on top in a pen in most of these rallies. They're on top of this, including the victory celebration night at the Hilton in New York, where they're all right there, and she just took meticulous notes on it. And I was ready at this particular time. The book coming out right now, as somebody who was, you know how engaged I was in that election
yeah.
cycle, it's a perfect time for that. So check it out.
I bet you can get it through our Amazon portal.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Today.
That's it. Hey, lady.
Pick it up. Anyway, thank you, Katie Turr. We will take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Dan O'Brien, good guy, creepy reader. It occurs to me every time I play that. That's just kind of creepy. Want to remind you, you know what? Dan sometimes rears his head during the bonus show. This week on the bonus show, it was so much fun because we had Mike in studio. We got a chance to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my favorite part of the bonus show because really, there are no rules. There are no regulations. We don't have a format to keep. We just sit down and talk and see what happens. And if you're not getting the bonus show, I'm not going to tell you that you suck, but you're sucking. You're sucking if you don't subscribe to the bonus show and you listen to this show. So please stop sucking. For a small fee, you can be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
Yeah, and, you know, we get to talk about subject matter that you're just not allowed to talk about on the radio.
Adult stuff. The type of stuff that Pony talks to Maddie about before the show.
No, not even adults. I'm just general, overall. I mean, for example, Mike tells a story like 2 weeks ago, right?
Right.
On one of the bonus shows that there's no way to tell it on regular radio.
You're exactly right.
There's no way.
So if you like what you're hearing now, you're going to love what you hear on the bonus show. Just go to our website and click the thing that says bonus. Help us out, please.
I can't believe it takes Mike like 3 days to get somewhere.
Well, I think it has to do with his new hip.
Right? I was thinking about that today. This is the only man that goes back and forth up, and I hope you're listening right now, Mike. That takes like three different stops.
Well, as you know, the horses have to rest.
Yeah. Need water.
Like, it's a road trip across America. Well, I think Chad drove to Arizona in 2 days once. Arizona.
It's a little lengthier, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, he's got dogs and he's got the wife. He's making it. He's, you know what? And also, Oscar, I think you're not seeing the heart of the matter, which is he's not all that eager to get there because he doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but he wasn't all that eager to be here either.
No, but he's happy to be in transit.
He escaped the hurricane.
And then he
escaped Northern Virginia.
He cheated
death. Where is he going to be happy?
Well, as I said,
he's never happy.
He's never happy. But right now, you know what? We saw him. He was probably the least unhappy we've seen him in a while.
Yeah, I would say so.
He's part of an adventure now. He's on an adventure.
Yeah, the Florida Trail.
Road trip.
The Florida Trail. A couple of things I wanted to tell you about, Oscar, but I got to be a proud papa just for a moment. Julia found out this weekend she made the improv team at her school.
Oh, which that's great.
Which is sort of a cool thing for me because I lettered in theater.
Hate when you make a big deal out of it.
They had like actual jackets?
No, I just have.
I mean, you could order them if you wanted to.
Okay, yeah, okay. They wouldn't give it to you.
No self-respectful teenager would walk around with a letter with a happy face and smile and sad face on it.
Oh, the comedy and tragedy.
Yes.
I want people to fake know that Oscar referred to the classic Greek masks as happy and sad.
That's
face.
The pin you would get, right?
That would be the pin. Yeah.
No one's walking around with that.
Didn't wear it. Thought about putting it on my denim jacket, but
no,
didn't.
You put that on your memory board at home and hope nobody ever sees it.
Pinterest.
Yeah.
I did my Pinterest letter.
Yeah, but your physical Pinterest.
My Pinterest room.
Yeah.
I have a Pinterest room, as all, you know, manly men do.
You pin it.
Yeah. But found out this weekend that, and I had been encouraging her. Of course, I've always stand by the fact I don't force my kids to do something to do because I think they'd be good at it.
You don't force them to do anything.
But I do encourage Julia because of her wicked, fast sense of humor to do improv. I thought she would be excellent. She was hesitant. She was worried that she would not make the team. And thanks to the support of her friends for getting her to audition, she'll be part of it. I just have one problem with it, which is the name of the improv troupe, is Shenanigans.
I think it's phenomenal.
You love it?
Yes.
All right, very good.
Why would you not like it?
Shenanigans.
The Tuscarora Shenanigans?
That's it.
That's a lot of words to put on a t-shirt. But
you certainly can't fit that on your letter jacket.
A lot of letters.
It's Shenanigans.
Words.
So it's very cool for me. Very pleased
to see you. Shenanigans is great.
And while we're talking.
Do you know that all these like super troopers, all these.
It comes from improv troops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff that I was being teased and chided about in the late 80s. Now that's where all your comics are coming from.
Yeah, but did anybody famous come out of your improv troupe?
John.
It's you, right?
Well, there's me. I would say it's a tie. My buddy John was a script doctor for Memento. He makes a living in Hollywood.
Yeah, that was like 30 years ago now.
Well, you know what? How many scripts have you done?
None, but I'm not walking around saying I'm famous.
Well, no,
that's true.
You know what I'm saying is I'm not saying I'm famous either.
I think you probably are the most famous.
I'm
nobody reads the credits.
John is.
He may be the most wealthy.
He's a man.
Oh, well, they don't pay that either?
No. I don't think anyone's wealthy anymore.
No?
No. But John is connected. He's a Hollywood guy.
Connected.
So he's connected, so that's pretty cool. So congratulations to my daughter.
Congrats. And when's their first game?
I think it's more of a meet.
Oh, sorry.
And it should be in a couple weeks.
Yeah. You know what? Your daughter, she could be a mathlete. She's on Shenanigans.
Yeah, she's getting it done.
She's doing her thing.
I did find out through the family, my cousin Jeannie has a wedding coming up, and the bridal shower was this weekend.
Ooh.
So Julia and my mom and Carrie went out, and I found out that at the Tuscarora football game this weekend, I genuinely pissed off the Woodgrove Wolverines by the way I announced the game.
Please.
And I only think there was one really problematic call because you're really supposed to play it at least mostly neutral as an announcer. But
well,
because
what happened?
Woodgrove is close. It's in Culpeper. So they had a pretty big representation
it's
at the game.
Jets and the Sharks.
Yeah. And so what happened? It was an amazing game. The final score, 62-40.
Whoa.
Everything happened. Fumbles,
except
interceptions.
For, except for defense.
There was off the upright. There was a ball off the upright. It was great. But there was one remarkable play by Woodgrove that involved two fumbles and then an interception. Mm. And when I recapped it, I said, you know, number three, interception, fumble. But other than that,
I would have been mad at you, and I would have been rooting for Tuscarora.
So what happened is it turns out that my...
You got a complaint?
I have a cousin.
A formal complaint.
I have a cousin that goes to Woodgrove, and she was at the bridal shower.
Yes.
And she said, everyone in the stand said, that announcer is a dick.
Yes!
Yeah.
First off,
my job here is done.
I mean, look, you're doing it for free, so after them side.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not upset.
Outside of that, if I'm watching a game or even if I'm at a high school game,
right?
And I hear some offhand comment,
I like it.
No, you don't like it.
I like it.
I need some entertainment.
It would take away from the game.
No.
See?
It's fine. You can see it.
You know what it is? The non-sports fans are okay with it. You're pissed off.
I want some entertainment value to the game.
The entertainment was the two fumbles and then the score.
That's not enough.
No, he wants guys on the field spinning plates on sticks.
Exactly.
He wants the Ed Sullivan show.
I want zany.
Shenanigans.
No. I told you. You know one of my favorite quotes ever from general manager Ken Stevens at WJFK?
What?
He called up and he asked why I was playing a Christmas-themed segment on an August best of. I said, Ken, it's zany. He says, I hate zany. So that's what I think of when I think of Ken Stevens.
Meanwhile, Ken Stevens in New York getting paid.
That's right. Yeah. Hating zany. We must step away. When we come back, I want to tell you about soda.
Please.
All right, back after this. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Cake and cookies.
Hey, guess who's still listening to the Rob and Katie Show?
Hello, this is Zach Zabrowski, and I'm still listening to Cake and Cookies.
Hi, this is Kevin Mode, and I'm still listening.
Hi, I'm Zach Wheaton, and I'm still listening.
This is Liz Galelli, and I'm still listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Jackson, and I'm still listening.
I'm Eric Myers, and I'm still listening.
I'm Paul Horner, and I'm a crumb. I'm still listening, and you better be too.
Hi, this is the internet's Steve Mermelstein, and I'm still listening.
Hi, I'm Mike Pallett, and I'm still listening to the Cake and Cookie Show.
So tune in this week, and pretty soon you won't be sick of it either. What?
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
You're buying a spite house. If you're buying a spite house like Oscar bought, little house, big house, any house at all. If you're buying a house, you probably don't know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, most people don't. You have dreams of hopefully buying a house, but no one has a playbook of how to really get you there.
And you do it, at most 2-3 times your life? You don't have time to get good at it. You don't know what you're doing. No offense, it's a tricky endeavor, but you don't do it all the time. So doesn't it make sense that you want to consult with an expert that has your best interest in mind when you're out there trying to buy a house? You need someone who understands the best way to get you what you want and what you need. And our friends at Cornerstone First Financial will be able to get you through the finance process quickly and easily and at the best rate possible. Right now, interest rates are low, low, low. So now is the time to lock in before they go up again. Cornerstone First Financial will be able to tell you when you're ready to buy, and once you're ready, they'll get you there fast. Cornerstone is right here in our own building. We know these guys. We love these guys. They handled Oscar's mortgage, and they treated him like a king. So click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS, and you get a free appraisal at closing. That's cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS or 202-625-1221. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Mike will be there in 5 days.
Yeah, above and beyond, people. Listen, I know we make a lot of jokes about my house and how it's the money pit. Pulling back the curtain just a little bit. When I even first went to Mark and the guys at Cornerstone and say, look, this is the house I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they gave me a full analysis.
Oh, they will not sugarcoat it. They'll tell you exactly where you stand.
This will be there. Like, if you do this, this, and this, and maybe, X amount of years, you'll be
you'll be on top, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take on that risk and say, I'm ready. How do I get there? How do I do that in the middle of paying for business school? Where do I have to get my loan? How many times do I have to shake down my dad to get this payment right? But where do I have to be? And they really gave me, and I know we joke about it a lot, but they gave me, for me at least, for my house, right?
Yeah.
They gave me the playbook of this game is plan. How you're going to go from A to B.
That's the thing about Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing, and we thank them. So you gave me a weekend homework assignment that I was delighted to do. The $100 soda challenge.
Yes.
Tell me about, first of all, I think we've mentioned in passing, we're doing some redecorating, some reconstruction yes. within our studio space. Our studio is staying the same, but the outlying offices are being reconfigured to be more broadcast friendly.
There's going to be, I think... It's premature to talk about this announcement in the coming month, but look, if things are happening, we're being honest with our listenership. We have for some time now and for those of you that have visited the studio when Mike O'Mara allows you to, the first thing you do when you walk in.
Who rang that bell? Nobody sees the wizard. Not no one, not no how.
Before and after the show, people, that's all you get.
That's right. And usually after.
When Merle Rogers is stopping by.
Sure.
As she's swinging through to see Nikki Diamond.
Sure. Sure thing.
The first thing people would say is, wow, this looks a lot bigger on television.
It sure
right?
does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you that as far as partners in studio and relationships we've built, the relationship with Cornerstone as far as our suite mates was phenomenal.
The best.
I remember walking into the studio and telling Mark from Cornerstone, hey, I see you got an office for sublease. And he said, yeah. He's like, I want to build a studio in that corner office. And he said, what? I said, no, I promise you, like, we're going to be the best tenants ever. We're going to come in maybe for two or three hours. I'll work independently in there once in a while, but the guys will leave.
We're mostly done by noon.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, but I won't make a peep when I'm in there working. Mm-hmm. There might be some interviews here and there, but whatever. So he bought into the concept. And when Cornerstone had the opportunity to move downstairs, they were all nice enough to come to us and say, look, you got first dibs, right?
Righto.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to take over the entire suite? No, we can't afford that. That's not what we do. We're small business.
And you
right?
hated my idea.
What was your idea?
Soft serve ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I said, there's no foot traffic, Rob. People aren't going to walk four flights of stairs to get their soft serve.
But I'm already here.
Can you imagine the carrying costs?
Hey, oh, my God.
We're almost out of vanilla again. Rob,
where'd it go? Rob
send up
it.
The big bag of goo. We need to fill the machine with the big bag of goo.
So we found a phenomenal partner who we will announce in the coming weeks that essentially is the perfect fit for what we do here, right?
Exactly.
And they are podcast evangelists, and we'll be working hand in hand with their team and our team, which is essentially going to be one big team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's perfect. But there's essentially
a symbiotic relationship.
A renovation going on of the entire suite.
Which involves the world's biggest refrigerator.
The commercial grade refrigerator for the conference room in the back.
How did that happen? How did that get here? Because it's a pretty magnificent unit.
Well, the concept really is driven off of a collective workspace, right?
I see.
And at most collective workspaces, it's pretty common for, and this is going to shock you, because we never had this in radio,
right?
Where you have free beverages.
Do you know that at WYSP in Philadelphia, one of the earliest Infinity properties.
Before CBS.
They were way before Westinghouse, when it was just Infinity.
All I know about Westinghouse is they make horrible TVs.
Circle Bar W, you can be sure if it's Westinghouse.
Yes.
They were so cheap that...
Thanks for that history lesson.
Yes.
That instead of giving their chief engineer a raise, they let him run the vending machines.
Oh, so
he could stock the vending machines and keep the money.
You can have
that was instead of a raise. God.
All the carbs you want.
That's right. He said, what do you want? Do you want a Mountain Dew Code Red? Yeah, baby. So anyway, so we're looking towards free beverages. So we've got to stock this fridge.
Yes.
I hold in my hand the receipt of what I purchased.
Yeah.
And I want you to review my purchases to see how I did.
Just got put in there, right?
And this thing is so big. It's going to take 3 days to get.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a three-body fridge.
Yes.
You could put
three bodies.
You could put a lot of holes in the desert. You can put a lot of people in there. So here's what we're going to stock the fridge with.
Okay.
See how I
this
did.
This is the initial.
Yeah, because you just well, sent me on
that
my
really
way.
Was for us. Because once they get up and running, though, this I mean, we can we get to call our shot. But
I want
this
you
is
to
for
know,
us.
I want you to know. I examined Red Bull. It's too expensive.
Okay.
It's not practical.
No.
No. No. It's like a dollar a can.
It's like $2.50 across the street, though.
Well, yeah, but I was using Cost Company.
Okay,
gotcha. So but still, a dollar is a lot.
Is it still a dollar? Do they sell that at Costco?
Yeah, it's a case, 24 for, I think, $23.99.
Do me a favor. Circle back.
You got it. All right. Top of my to-do list.
Skin flint over here using other people's money.
You'll be surprised. I overshot and I kicked more? In.
Yeah, okay.
I did.
Oh, look at you. All right.
So we started out with a 40-pack of water, just plain
we need
bottled
H2O.
Water.
It's important
gotta
for
stay
everybody.
Hydrated, right?
People disrespect their epidermis.
Case of various Snapple teas.
Boo.
Yeah, Snapple's gross.
Wow, I thought that would play better.
Snapple teas?
All right, let me move on. Wow, he's
Are
hissing.
You shopping for yourself?
No, I won't drink Snapple tea.
Have you ever seen anybody walk in with Snapple here?
No.
Ever.
Pony drinks sweet tea. He's like a child.
That's
He'll
only
drink
because
anything.
I can't get anything better at my crappy gas station.
Maybe you will get Snapple tea and you'll say, you know what, this is great.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, okay.
Even your drinks are old. I drank Snapple when I was in high school.
Batting 500. All right. A case.
Like,
two cases.
Late 90s.
Two cases of San Pellegrino. Bottled carbonated water.
That's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
That's fine?
San Pellegrino, actually, you know what? You did well.
Is
there.
That a win?
That's strong.
Okay.
Strong.
Thank you. Thank you. Does that offset the Snapple?
Snapple, it was so egregious. I still have a hangover from that bad choice.
Okay, what about wow, it's lingering. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Case of Sprite, case of Diet Coke, case of Classic Coke.
Yes, that
okay.
works. That
and
works.
Actually
Staples.
Bigger than case of 30.
Staples.
I think
30 rack.
35 pack.
Damn.
I think it's a 35 pack. Now here's a curveball that I think when we have guests in is gonna play well.
Okay.
Also great for if you're hungover. One case of ginger ale.
Ooh, people are going to be excited for ginger ale.
Ginger
That's
ale,
great.
Ginger, soothing for the belly.
Soothing.
Soothing, very good. How about a case of assorted classic variety Gatorade?
Ooh, that's good.
Good. Call. Good
Red,
call.
Orange,
good call.
Yellow.
Skinny bottles?
Half liter bottles, I believe.
Liter of cola.
All right, and then we close with our gourmet choice, because it was on sale, assorted case of Izzy brand juice.
What is Izzy?
Izzy is a flavored carbonated, like a seltzer that's, I think, raspberry, pineapple, and lemon. It's very, very popular with the youngsters.
Oh, Izzy.
Izzy, I-Z-Z-E.
You might have to take that home with you.
Okay, well let's see. You know what? We're skewing old. Maddie, have you heard of Izzy?
I have heard of it, yes.
And?
Do you want to see that on a high-end fridge?
It's a no from me.
I blew it.
You're the worst. You're bringing RC Cola next? Actually, I wouldn't mind RC Cola.
Yeah, Shasta.
I got your Shasta. I got your Shasta right here.
How about this?
Yes.
I think that we, of all the people in the room here.
I think the Izzy is going to play strong. And you know what? It's pretty.
There's a carrying cost, right?
Sure.
You know what a carrying cost is? You probably know from your furniture days.
Absolutely.
How long the furniture stays on the floor.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them all in there.
Right.
And since you know how many went in, and I don't want you just drinking. I want you to stay away from the Izzy. You stay away personally from the Izzy.
How dare you?
You have to now because you have to pay the penance.
All right.
Let's see how long those cans stay in there.
You know what I'm going to be doing? It's going to be a long visit for me to Snapple Town. Come home. Carrie says, God, you reek of peach tea. It's like, just trying to do my job, baby. Just trying to do my job.
Oscar said someone had to drink them. They're taking up retail space.
I had to make 5 bathroom stops on the way home. I saved all the bottle caps. Read the facts. Anyway.
And we will recycle you here, people. We'll recycle.
Yeah. I've seen a recycle bin.
Yes.
Oh, you know who hates that? The interns. Every Tuesday and Thursday. Clink, 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 clink,
aww,
going down the steps. So anyway, beverages are here. Sounds like I batted about 500.
What's the deal with the adult beverages? I'm shocked you didn't bring that in.
Well, when you gave me $100, I was just going to buy a 75 of Crown and a case of Bex. The fridge seems so empty. I don't know. I thought we'd discuss adult beverages.
Yeah, we should.
We should.
Under lock and key.
At another time. We are running super late. You have some entertainment news,
yes,
for us, I take it. So we'll be back after this. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. I love Izzy.
Ladies, would you like to gain access to an up-and-coming Bolivian businessman?
Woo!
Would you like to gain access to Chateau Relaxo? then the Oscar Santana Scholarship may be for you. While on scholarship, you can learn about exciting topics like keeping it tight and knowing your role. So if you're in the D.C. metro area and between the ages of 18 and 19, bring your application to the TMOS World Headquarters so Oscar can look it over. Some restrictions apply. No fatties, no uggos.
I tell you who loves Izzy Soda is a P1 listener, Tony Lamb. I got a great email from him over the weekend. Even before he heard the interview, he heard the tease that Katie Turr was going to be on our show, and he ran to Amazon, bought her book. He had it before the interview aired.
That's amazing.
And that's the thing about the speed and the service at Amazon, and it's, of course, when you access it through our website, it helps us out. As a matter of fact, it's the most important way you can support this show that you can do painlessly. Mm-hmm. But it is fat. And if you want to be on top of something, anytime there's a new release, anytime there is a new book out, something, records, CDs, they'll get it to you day of. That's the magic of Amazon. So please access it through our website, access it through our app, because while it changes nothing for you, it means the world to us. Thank you, Amazon. And thank you, Tony Lamb. Good guy. Now, you know what? I hate not having Mike here, but I temper that sadness with the joy that Oscarazzi is upon us. Hello, Oscar.
Hey, fellas.
Izzy.
By the way, I think if listeners want to pay tribute to our new fridge and send us sodas.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah. You know what? We can actually have them send it to the suite now.
You're right.
It's weird, right? To actually have a suite they can send to?
I would like, you know what? I would say this.
They don't even have to send it to the P.O. Box anymore.
No. I'm not telling you what to do or how to do it, but I love boutique sodas.
Oh.
Rod! You're the one, you know what? But you're no better than me. You drink that fancy Pepsi.
Well, I was just looking on Amazon, and they have that fancy Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
They do. They have all
Pepsi
the
1897.
What is it? The craft soda.
Yes. This is sort of a ginger bitters orange.
Send your
Pepsi.
Staples. You could send a few of the craft ones.
Yeah.
Because well, then they take up the shelf.
They're going to have to send an S-load of soda before we don't have room for soda.
You know, the first time I ever got on radio was when I brought Big O and Dukes 2 cases of classic Coke.
Where did you find that again?
I don't know. It was like Safeway or something.
You mean like original Coke?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Pepsi-Cola 1893.
1893. It comes with a Reagan Bush t-shirt.
Pepsi-Cola 1893 is on there. You can also find... Is that what you wanted, Rob?
Well, that's very good. I like that. And I also like fruit sodas.
Fruit?
You know what's excellent?
God.
You know what's excellent? And yes. I think it actually is being popularized by your people because I'm seeing it around.
My people.
Oh, God.
Fanta pineapple soda is amazing.
Yeah, I don't mind boutique sodas. I'm holding this up for Ustream right now.
You know what? It was a knee jerk when he called me a jerk. That's what it was. It was
an actual
knee jerk.
You stopped me in my tracks. I was like, oh my God, they should send these wacky and zany sodas.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate zany, said Ken Stevens.
I
think I outlasted it.
It's 2300 Wisconsin Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20007.
Suite 400B.
400B. Mm-hmm.
Attention, Oscar Santana.
No!
Yes!
No!
Yeah, Oscar. Oscar,
if we
thirsty
get,
Oscar
if we get
Santana.
Here on Monday and there are pallets of sodas, I'm going to be so excited. I'm giving you a week to order them, people. Okay. Gentlemen, let's get to it. We talked about it earlier in the program when we had Mike on.
Yes.
From the road. The Emmys were in, and as my good friend Chad Duke said, what are you doing? Men are playing football. I was watching the Emmys.
Did you watch it? I thought it was a pretty good show last night.
I thought it was the best Emmys, I would say, in the last 5 years.
Colbert was good. It was tight. There was a lot of good shows represented, and you know what? I know that I like to marry myself to grief. That was the most outstanding death reel I had seen in years because of the live singing of the Stevie Wonder song "As" against beautiful production. They did a really nice job.
Yeah, I look, as far as award shows go, for the past 3 years, I think I've been railing against them.
Mm-hmm.
But this Emmys, I want to hate on it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was pretty damn good, and it moved quick.
It did.
Right?
But Reese Witherspoon
fast.
Is so short.
Why are you upset? I saw that on Facebook. She is a little lady. You realize?
But
that.
I mean, and the thing is that she,
did you have like some fantasy that she was gonna be on stilts?
No. But my thing is that when I saw her with the cast of her show,
Nicole Kidman is taller than you.
I know, but then Laura Dern comes out and it looks like she's about to attack Tokyo.
Big winners,
yes,
as you know.
And I have not gotten into it. I don't know what I'm waiting for. The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Most people online didn't know about the show because it's on Hulu.
Yes.
Most people were also saying, got to get this show. I can only imagine that Hulu has a serious bump in subscribership to catch this show finally.
They said a million years ago that people bought televisions because Milton Berle was on. That there was a cause and effect relationship. That they didn't see there was a reason to buy a TV until this very popular show began. I bet that Handmaid's Tale was responsible for more subscriptions of Hulu than anything else. Because wouldn't it's a horrible, horrible platform.
Battle of the late night shows. John Oliver won. He beat out the competition overall. He also won on Twitter when he went and accepted his Emmy and said, for no reason whatsoever, and any reason to highlight public schools is good with me. But he right. said, please, on Twitter, I'd like to see nationally, just like Dave Chappelle said, for the hashtag DC Public Schools to trend.
Right.
I ran to my phone like a rube, and I said, I think I wrote, and out for the win. Congratulations right. again. Emmys, hashtag Emmys, hashtag DC Public Schools. And it was trending.
That's very, very cool. And also, I love the way that Kimmel and Stephen Colbert made fun of John Oliver. Yeah. And they said, this is a new drink called the John Oliver. It's so special, you only make it once a week.
I mean, there's a fact there, right?
Yes, yeah. It's true. It's true.
5 days a week, one day a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It's easier to hit a home run when you're up to bat.
I was so excited he won, I sent him a case of boutique soda.
Big Little Lies. Have you ever watched it on HBO?
I was so unfamiliar with that.
I've seen it. My girl watches it. It's hard to watch at times, but as far as the stories, it's definitely a great show. An all-star cast.
Okay,
absolutely
cool.
All-star
cool.
cast. Another one I want to mention just briefly here is Atlanta. Atlanta really took, and Veep, by the way, big winner. We all know that.
And it's a great show. Fantastic.
But I haven't watched Atlanta.
Me neither.
And I've heard enough people talk about it. I have to get into it.
It seems to me that it existed under the radar a little bit.
Well, it wasn't made for us, if you know what I mean.
I understand, but I'm thinking that
neither was
men.
This kind of podcasters, boutique soda enthusiasts.
And when I say that, I say the tongue in cheek.
Yeah. But I do think that, again, this is going to be a tremendous bump in its popularity because this is when
Black America, it's very popular.
Of course, yes. Mm-hmm.
But at the TMOS, not so much.
Well, you
let's
know,
get into it.
We do what we can.
I do. I'll say this.
Yes.
As far as programs are concerned, I didn't even get into The Night Of on HBO.
Really?
Yeah.
I tried it.
Too dark?
Very dark. Very, very dark. And my own personal Emmy highlight was, and I have some tape of the Emmy coming up in a second, is when John Lithgow won for his portrayal of Winston Churchill. And I got to go on Mike's page and write, why settle when you can select? So congratulations.
It's The Handmaid's Tale, Atlanta. Definitely got to get into those.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. By the way,
Save to Win was shut out.
Are you kidding me?
Tomorrow, I will give you a little skinny, and actually, it's pretty tragic, but yeah. it's riveting as well. The show on Netflix, Narcos,
yeah.
They're moving their entire operation to Mexico.
Good luck getting back in. They're building a wall, yeah. You know.
Their location scout, the Netflix location scout, the guy that actually goes out and
right.
one of the top guys worked on Fast and the Furious, he was murdered scouting for the next season of Narcos. Someone does not want that story told. I will give you all the details on tomorrow's Odd Squads.
Yikes. Okay, yeah. Well, that's a reason to tune in and to lock your door tonight. We'll be back with an abbreviated audio vault right after this.
Caution, ladies and gentlemen, the promo starts now. O'Reilly here. Hey, did you know the Mike O'Meara Show is always looking for interns? Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Well, you should. Of course they are. You know, interns, they show up, they get coffee, they help out. You know the drill. And if you're a college kid and you want to get your foot in the broadcast door, just email your resume and a letter of intent to Rob, that's with two B's, at MikeO'MearaShow.com. That's SpeeWack Kid. He's your liaison. SpeeWack! Best of all, every intern at TMOS is treated with respect and class, a professional environment. And if that part doesn't matter to you, I have a podcast too. Come intern at The Factor, where things can get a little handsy. Know what I mean? We'll do it live!
Do you think any of the big stars getting to the Emmys took Lyft? I bet they did.
Probably.
Because there's a lot of people in the audience. Big staff, they can't all afford limo. Now, you know that Lyft is the best way to get from here to there, but it's also the best ride-sharing app to drive for. Because with Lyft, you can pick your own hours and work when you want. Lyft can make driving the best gig in the world. It was the first ride-sharing app to offer in-app tipping, and when you drive for Lyft, you keep all of the tips, 100%. Drivers have been paid over $200 million in tips since the feature was introduced, and that's a pretty hefty chunk of change. Express Pay lets drivers get paid almost instantly instead of waiting for weeks, which makes the drivers happy, which makes a better ride for you. Lyft has also taken the guesswork out of pickups with the new AMP device, which has a color-coded symbol right in the window of the car so you can spot your car from a mile away. It's perfect. You can earn hundreds of dollars a week plus tips. So if you want to make more money, you just drive more. It's never been easier to give yourself a raise. Simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers. Maybe that's why 9 out of 10 Lyft rides get a perfect 5-star rating. So join the ride-sharing company that believes in treating people better. Go to Lyft.com/TMOS today and get a $500 new driver bonus. That's Lyft.com/TMOS. Lyft.com/TMOS. Limited time only. Terms apply. All right. Audio vault time. One thing that we did not mention about the Emmys, and it threw me. I tuned in maybe about 12 minutes into the show because I had to pick Julia up at work, and we had forgotten that they were on.
Best dad ever.
And so then there's...
Walk in! Phil's character.
The announcer.
Nice and cool outside.
The announcer last night, his name was Jermaine Fowler. I recognized him from the soon-to-be-canceled show Superior Donuts.
Yes.
But it was so far away from any announcer I'd ever heard on an award show before. Normally, it's either Billy Big Voice or the woman.
Do you like change?
Who talks like this. I liked this guy.
No, I'm shocked. I loved it. Huh.
I thought there was a great energy. Now he wasn't
have some stiff in a booth the entire time. If you want a younger audience, you gotta switch it up a little bit.
And it wasn't a polished presentation, but it felt sort of fun. And here's some highlights from Jermaine Fowler last night.
This is the 6th Emmy win and 12th nomination for John Lithgow. At the age of 27, John won a Tony Award only 18 days after the Broadway debut. With a total of 200.
Sounds like Kevin Hart.
He does.
Yeah.
Hey, it's funny you should bring him up. He had a great weekend.
Oh, God. You can't cheat on your wife if you're a superstar and then not expect to be extorted.
Yeah, when you're running around and you're
rules to live by.
Superstar, 4 foot tall, people are going to recognize you.
Just because they say they can keep a secret doesn't mean they will.
Now you're taking his own cadence. You're talking like him.
Oh, sorry.
Kevin Hart issued an apology
no
tape.
No uggos!
There was apparently a tape that suggested sexual intercourse. No one saw sexual intercourse, but it was awfully suggested, and they tried to extort him, and he just came out, which is the only way you can really defeat this. Letterman did the same thing.
I don't feel bad for anyone in this equation.
Okay.
The extorter, Kevin Hart, not really his family, because this, I mean, look, to be fair to everybody involved, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart has done this before.
Sure.
Right? So the idea,
allegedly, I sure.
No, not even allegedly. Like
we know this?
He's been busted for stepping out in his relationships.
All right.
Now, is it weird to think, and I'm not saying it's okay, but is it weird to think that the man who's on every billboard in America and sells out stadiums,
right,
well, probably, as Chris Rock said it best, you're only as faithful as your options. Now, to do it in the back of a Lexus in someone's driveway, that's sloppy.
You're right, right.
But I'm just saying that's a tape there was beforehand.
Oh, geez.
Now, I don't know. now, I don't know for sure if this is the same girl. But there is an issue with extortion, and he didn't want to pay up, and he had to make it public.
So he went on to the he posted
what?
This video.
Oh, if you saw this, it's so tragic.
I feel like I have a target on my back.
Target.
And because of that, I should make smart decisions. And recently, I didn't. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I am or claim to be in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you know what? No one is saying that you're perfect. At all.
We
ever.
All saw Central Intelligence Agency.
Yeah.
Should have been better.
I liked it when they made The Rock look fat. That was funny.
Oh, that was funny. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was a solid rental.
Yeah.
But this isn't going to, do you think this is going to hurt his career?
I think he handled it right. And you know what? I think we have so much stuff. Almost said a different word, Pony. Thank you. We have so much stuff going on right now in the world. This is going to be rearview mirror stuff in 2.5 news
and
cycles.
And it's almost, I hate to say that it's like,
it's par for the course. But like, I'm not. If you're gonna give me a lineup of people that I'm shocked by, I'm not shocked.
No, I'm not shocked.
By Ben Affleck breaking up with Jennifer Gardner.
True enough.
That one still hurts.
Also, last night the Emmy Awards, three people were left out of the death reel, and that's something that always comes up. Who was left out? We mentioned last week on the show, Dick Gregory was not in the death reel. Also, Charlie Murphy, who really should have been because of his television presence. And also, Harry Dean Stanton. He played the father in the movie Pretty in Pink. He was an alien. He did a lot of work, but this is a pretty good scene. This is the late Harry Dean Stanton, who actually his death might have been too soon to allow him to be in the death reel, but he passed of natural causes, age of 91. This is from Pretty in Pink, talking to Ducky.
I loved her, and I married her. And one day she just split.
Oh, wait, this was Andy's mom?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I haven't seen her in 3 years, you know, and but I still love her just as much as I ever did, you know. I mean, you can love Andy, but that doesn't mean she's going to love you back. I mean, it doesn't mean she won't, but what I'm trying to say is you can't make it happen, you know. It either will or it won't. It's all in the heart.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm cardiovascular. Yeah, I understand.
So, safe home to Harry Dean Stanton. A great career and a long ride, but always sad when we lose
one
like
that. Don't you think
it's,
if you forget someone, okay, you own that from these death reels.
Right.
But the idea that it's too late to make it happen, this is a digital world.
I understand.
We got Mike on from a motel in North Carolina.
And he was alive.
You can find something.
Thank you, Pony.
Could probably take 3 hours on YouTube and find out how to rip a copy of Pretty in Pink on and throw it up on a death reel.
You're very true.
Yeah,
you know what?
It's easy.
I apologize for taking the side of Big Emmy.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, right?
You're right. You're absolutely
like,
right.
It's digital. No one's cutting tape.
You're right. No razors, no wax pencils.
No.
Bunch of jerks. All right, let's close with this. Watch What Happens Live. They asked Martha Stewart. It's still weird to me that Martha Stewart does so many projects with Snoop. It's just, it seems like
probably you. I mean, think about her, how relevant she is, right?
And I guess that's her last grasp of relevancy.
And Snoop, he's like 80. He's still like he's still cool.
Yeah, you know what he enjoys is marijuana cigarettes.
Oh.
And they asked her about that on this television program.
Have you ever had a contact high when you're shooting with Snoop Dogg?
Contact high, yes.
Yes. Have you ever gotten high with him?
Only contact high.
Only contact high.
Snoop is in his bus, and the bus is enshrouded in smoke. You can't even walk by without getting a contact high. So, and I've never gone in the bus.
Really?
You know, you can ask him. He'll tell you. I've never been in that bus.
Well, so that's it. Contact high. And I bet
Martha Stewart. Lighten up.
I bet when she gets the munchies, she eats really, really fancy cupcakes.
Yeah. She makes them.
You should see her joints. They're immaculate.
We're going to moisten the paper with filtered water.
Artisanal joints. I bet you there's like a market out there for that.
We slowly smoked the weeds for a while. It's very good thing.
She actually classifies the greens as like a different type of green.
I've alphabetized all of my rolling papers, obviously ending with zigzag. It's a very good thing. That's it, people. Thank you for joining us for this jumbo size. This is a big gulp of an episode. For another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show, don't forget to update that brand new app today. It's fantastic. Unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All message for the weekly mailbag, which is tomorrow.
Mañana, remember.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday's birthdays.
That doesn't sound right.
No.
Tuesday's fun days. No. Monday's fun days. Anyway, get those letters to me tonight after 10 p.m. Send it to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Our new fall schedule. Mailbag Tuesdays. Our mailing address, TMOS, is Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Remember our street address for boutique sodas. Thank you again for listening, and join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon. And get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.